This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah, welcome to Birdland. You know what's up.
Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Sroka.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Well, I've been better. How about for you, Josh?
I've had a pretty crappy week, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So the Orioles weekend and the Ravens Monday night kind of just fit in with how my week has gone.
Yeah, well, we decided to postpone the podcast till Tuesday so we could talk about the Ravens. Josh, yeah. And I think we made a big mistake.
Oh, so a Sunday night show would have been so much fun. We could have trashed the Orioles for a little bit. Then we could have talked about how hope is eternal for the Ravens and how we've got to rebuild offensive line, so that's going to be all right. And Lamar is coming in as a passing QB, so that's going to be exciting. And you can never count out our defense. So we would have been all excited. Did I get all the talking points right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so tired, just physically tired from staying up for that game. And just angry. I haven't been on Twitter once today.
I did.
I didn't turn on the radio at all. Like, I turned on WBAL, and I hate their morning show, but I turned on WBAL because I didn't want to hear any sports.
The big, bad morning show? You don't like the big, bad morning show?
Sometimes I do, but no, I wanted no sports. I didn't even listen to, like, my favorite Tony Kornheiser podcast today because I knew he would talk about the football game, and I wanted – so I've heard zero about the football game. I've thought zero about it. I've distracted myself all day. I'm just still so angry about it.
All right.
And so I've just spent the whole day trying to not think about it. And Josh, we'll talk on the podcast about it for maybe 3 minutes, and then I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right. Well, no, but here's what the deal. I want to get you up to date with what people, because this is how Raven fans are. Okay. You have to blame the refs.
Okay, good.
Even though, the offensive line looked like trash, the defensive line looked like trash, and Lamar Jackson looked like trash. All right. So you lost the game because of your offensive line couldn't stop anything. Your defensive line couldn't cause any pressure, and Lamar Jackson fumbled the ball twice. Fair to say that's why you lost?
Sure. But the thing is – yeah, go ahead.
All right. What's your excuse? Because then I'll give you all the excuses going on Twitter and sports talk radio today.
But my whole thing is – and this is Josh, is why I avoided Twitter and ESPN, and I haven't watched any football
highlights. None of those are the
reasons
fans are saying we lost.
But for me, Josh, the Orioles are so bad.
Yes, they are.
And I'm okay with that. Like, when they lose to give up 22 runs to the Blue Jays, I literally laugh out loud. I think it's funny to me.
Yes.
But the Ravens are not supposed to disappoint us, right? The Ravens are supposed to be good.
Yes.
The Ravens are supposed to be entertaining. The Ravens are supposed – now, maybe in the playoffs they'll disappoint us, and I'm okay with that.
But not to start the season.
No, opening game.
They're supposed to be like the nice refresher from the baseball season.
Yeah, opening game, it's time – it's a celebration that Ravens football is here, and we're going to celebrate the Ravens with a blowout win. And I thought for sure it was going to be a blowout win.
It was supposed to be, yes.
And – it didn't go as planned, and I'm just so depressed about it. And it was I don't even care why, Josh. But tell me what people are saying, but I don't even care.
Here's the problem is the way you and I watch the game, the reason it's depressing is because it makes you wonder if we can't beat the Raiders, there's no way we're gonna be able to beat the Chiefs next week. And it kind of sets the whole season on a down note.
Yeah, I mean I felt today. This is how I felt. Like, I don't want to be a sports fan anymore because the Orioles suck. They're going to suck forever.
Right.
And if the Ravens are going to lose to the Raiders, I'm just depressed, and I don't even want to be a sports fan anymore.
Right. So let's talk about
– let's turn this into a book podcast and let's be done with sports.
Yeah. So I gave you the facts. Now let's talk about the fans.
Fine.
All right. First excuse is all the injuries the Ravens have had. I'll give you that one a little bit. The Ravens have been decimated by injuries. I'll give you that one a little bit. But here's
even though where we really struggled yesterday had nothing to do with the injuries, but okay, fine.
Yes. All right. But exactly. But I'll give you that one. All right. So let's see. Do you want to go with the fans that blame Harbaugh or the fans that blame the refs? Which way do you want to go? Because it's never the player's fault.
Choose your own adventure game. Yeah.
Yeah. Which one do you want first?
Let's talk Harbaugh. He's been on and off the hot seat more times than I can count.
Tyson Williams scored that touchdown, and then he was in the doghouse the rest of the game because of that miffed handoff.
Okay.
According to the fans.
Yeah. It's not how I saw the game. Who the running back was had very little to do with the result, but okay.
Correct. All right, now let's go to blame the refs. All right. We saw it yesterday. We were texting back and forth, or we weren't texting. We were doing our watching the game on FaceTime,
right?
Like we always do for these Raven games. So we were talking about this last night. The Marlon Humphrey interception, maybe perhaps angle that looked like he kind of trapped it with his between himself and the guy's butt, never touched the ground, and then he picked it up, and then he just walked off and dropped it.
Marlon Humphrey said he didn't think he caught it. Yeah,
right. The refs should have called that an interception and called him down right there, giving us the ball. That's why we lost. The interception in overtime, where
the Ravens interception?
No, the Raiders interception. Raiders intercept the ball.
Wasn't it a fumble?
Maybe it was a fumble. The guy running down Raiders. Anyway, there's a photo going around the internet of a Raider running down the sideline. He got like 60 yards. He clearly stepped out of bounds, according to all these photos on the internet, about 40 yards before that run.
All right.
So the play should have ended then. Those, and then there was a third one that I'm blanking on right now where people are blaming the refs. But it's always Baltimore sports fans need to just accept.
I mean, there was a deep pass that I think they called Tavon Young, maybe passing.
Oh yes, in the that was questionable. And
we said that was payback for the one that happened on the other end, where Darren Waller was caught for something.
So I'll give you that. Yeah. But what you really need to look at as Raven fans is that the offensive line could not stop anyone. That's a big problem. That the defensive line could not penetrate the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a big problem. That Derek Carr was able to throw the ball anywhere he wanted. And outside of Humphrey, no one was really helping out there. Those are the big problems.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even care. The thing also that sucks about football is with baseball, you give up 22 runs and you play the next day. Or at least the day after the next day.
How'd that work for Saturday going into Sunday?
Yeah.
You give up 12, you give up 22.
Yeah, and then on Tuesday right now, it's third inning, we go to five. So
exactly.
How's that going for us?
All right.
We're on pace to give up 22 again. No, but at least you play the next day.
Right.
Now we have to sit around and wait
till Sunday night.
Till Sunday, and we'll see what happens on Sunday, but I'm just so depressed.
And it's also, it was such lining up to be such your typical Ravens game. They struggle. Tucker kicks a field goal, they win. The Ravens defense that we are used to does not give up points with 30 seconds left in the game.
I guess. I mean, I don't know if you're talking about the 2000 Ravens defense. Yeah, you're right. The 2000 Ravens defense probably doesn't do that. But I feel like, I don't know. This is...
Speaking of the old Ravens defense, we didn't watch it yesterday, but I caught some highlights and clips today of the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning broadcast.
Sure, yeah, I know they were doing something.
Yeah, so they did not do a broadcast. It was basically a watch party. So it put them on the side, and they talked about the game, but they also just talked about whatever during the game. It's kind of like we've talked about doing that it'd be cool to do like a Orioles game where we put on the game and we all talk about it while we go.
Yeah, and if I was not super invested in the game and the teams, I would probably watch that. Yeah,
right, exactly. That would be interesting, but it's not how I want to watch my team's games. But they had Ray Lewis on.
Oh, cool.
And here's my highlight of the clips I was watching today. Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis were joking about how they would always try to recruit each other to come to their own team.
Hmm.
You know, best defense player, best quarterback. They wanted to get each other to join up. And Peyton Manning said, I was always afraid I would never sign with the Ravens because Ed Reed and Ray Lewis – destroyed Kyle Bowler's career by taking out all of his confidence in practice. And And Ray Lewis said, well, in practice, we never let Kyle Bowler offense once get a first down on us. So I found that entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, you hear people talk. There's no one on the Ravens. I mean, maybe people talk about Marlon Humphrey and kind of with respect, but you just hear quarterbacks, whoever it is, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, right. Talk about Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
No.
You don't talk about any but players like
no.
that.
No, and when you had Suggs, too, and all three of them on that defense together,
yeah.
It was who are you going to shout out? It was Brady pointing to Reed. And
yeah, it was a special group.
It was special, and that's part of the problem for Ravens fans is we were spoiled for so long.
Yeah, well, we knew it. Like, we knew at the time. Yes. Like, we knew we were watching Hall of Famers.
Right. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah,
so a tough loss, tough overtime, late night.
Yeah.
Weird fourth quarter. And then,
I mean, we're at the point, Josh, where I literally don't want to talk about the Ravens anymore. I'd rather talk about the Orioles.
All right. Let's talk about the Orioles.
Talk about the Orioles and the Ravens. I can't believe
where do you want
that.
To start? Keegan Aiken, Gunnar Henderson, Trey Mancini. Where do you want to go with the Orioles?
Well, I tell you what, I saw Dan Connolly. He put some article out. Did you see this about is the Orioles, current Orioles, the worst team of all in the history of Orioles teams or something?
No.
Is this year's team the worst?
No way.
And all of a sudden, I thought, and this has been bad, especially recently. Well, it's been a weird week, right? Because we had some success against the Yankees, and right. then we took two out of three against the Orioles.
Yeah.
Then I think we won the first game of the Toronto series, even. And so, like, things were looking good. And then we just gave up a billion runs to the Blue Jays. But this has been a weird up and down week for the Orioles. And then we can get into it, but like players are just being shut down left and right.
Yes, they're hurt, but going on the IL for the rest of the season, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about the worst team is, like, when I saw that, I was like, now this has been bad. We've given up a lot of runs. But also, this season we've seen a no-hitter. We've seen Trey Mancini return from cancer. We've seen Ryan Mountcastle make a case for Rookie of the Year. We've seen Cedric Mullins have one of the best offensive performances in the history of the Orioles. And so given kind of all those things, I don't know how you can also say it's been the – and given, like, the expectations coming in were so low that I don't know how this can be the worst season ever, right? Like, in recent memory, I would argue that 2018 and 2019 were worse. 2018 because of our expectations. 2019 because there was no one good on the team.
Yeah, 2018 is the one I just looked up to make sure I had the year right. Because 2018, we had expectations.
Yeah,
we still had Buck in there. We had Machado. We had Britton. We had Scope. We had O'Day. We had Gausman. We had Brock. We had Jones.
Yeah, a lot of good players in there.
And they were crap.
Yeah, and we had to blow up the whole team.
They finished that season with 47 wins.
Yeah,
that was worse than that. And that's the same stars that gave us a lot of fun baseball. The same guys that Oriole fans talk in great memory about these guys.
Yeah, it also led to the blowing up of the whole organization from everyone's out. Yeah.
Yes. So I would say in recent memory, I put 2018 as worse.
Yeah. And I don't know. You can go back to those. Some of those 2000 and 90s. I'll think about it. Yeah,
I'd say 14 years of crap. This, at least, like, no matter how bad the score is, there's enough individual performances this year that I won't rank that very high in my worst teams ever.
Yeah, I agree. But hey, speaking of terrible teams, Josh, when I went there, I felt honored. I went, I'm blanking now. I saw Michael Bauman make his major league debut.
Yeah,
against the Royals, but that was Tuesday. Night. I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. Anyway, when I went there on Tuesday, I was honored to be part of the smallest, without restrictions, smallest crowd in the history of Orioles baseball.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on Wednesday, they broke the record again. So right. I only got to hold on to that record. And that was... Josh, we've been to some small crowds. I mean, I was there. I took some pictures. I'll post
it looked
on
crazy on TV.
It was weird, man. It was like, even Silas, who's four, he was like, where is everybody?
Dude,
I don't know. Yeah, the attendance was insane. There was just no one there. It was completely empty.
You see, the Orioles are now responding to that by giving away tickets where you can do a Birdland membership trial where you get a pair of free tickets to go see what it's like to be a to be a Birdland member, that they're doing a
50% off
Birdland appreciation sale. So they're trying to get people in. And it looks like there's a decent amount of Yankee fans that came into the game tonight.
Yeah, like you're going to get the Yankees. I mean, that was against the Royals. I think when right. the Yankees play, you're going to get those. I mean, and the discount tickets, I think, were for Texas because, I mean, yes. who's going to come watch Texas? So, I mean, it's right. smart. I mean, I think they should give away tickets, do like a dollar for all the upper reserves, right?
I think here's what they should do. I think they should go play their games in Bowie and let the Bay Sox play in the big stadium.
Yeah, might as well.
Swap stadiums. You might get a little more interest or do a doubleheader situation. Like this is, you know, they got to do a JV varsity thing. You know how in high school, like the JV game used to play at like 7 and then varsity would play at like 9?
Yeah.
You know, do some back-to-back stuff. Get people. Yeah, well, if I'm going to see Gunnar Henderson, then I'll stick around for a little bit and watch the big guys play too.
Yeah. It's kind of like the TV lineup. You always want to go behind a big TV show because then exactly. you hope people just stay there and watch it.
Right. I forget what they called. Like Thursday nights were always popular.
Yeah.
Or like the TGIF.
The TGIF, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the attendance, I mean, the question though becomes, Josh, and this is what a lot of people are talking about. Now, I don't know really how to gauge this, but how much damage are the Orioles doing to their fandom that, like, I think like every year they suck, right? It's going to take longer and longer yes. to recover.
Well, I don't think so.
You think we win, everyone comes back, and everyone's on board?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't think it's that simple.
If next year, all right, horrible season, next year we're in May and we're playing over 500 ball, people are back.
No.
Yes.
No, there's 10,000 people there.
No.
Yes. Josh, no,
you're going to hear the excuses. I know people are scared of Baltimore. I know it gets dark at night. I know there's school. I know there's COVID. I'll just assume there's COVID next May because I'm pretty sure COVID's never going away at this point. Sorry to talk politics. I think winning brings people back. Okay. Winning. Think about 2012. When the Orioles were winning, you could feel that excitement. And that came off of 14 years of crap.
Yeah.
And you could feel that, and you saw it come back in the stadium. You're going to get the same thing.
Okay, there is no scenario in May next year, no matter if we could win every single game, there's no scenario that we get 30,000 people in the stadium.
If we win every single game until May 10th, that stadium will be sold out.
All right, if we win every single game, fine. I'll buy that. The only other scenario we're getting more than 30,000 fans, there's two scenarios. We win every single game. There's only one other scenario where we sell out in May.
A really cool bobblehead.
No. A really cool baseball player making a major league debut. That's the only other scenario
you're right.
That we sell out a game in May.
And I want to talk about – this was going to be an off-season topic.
Yeah, we'll talk about it all off-season.
We're going to talk about it all off-season.
Yeah, Adley Rutschman is going to come in every episode. He's our new Chris Davis. Every episode we'll talk about
it. I need to work this out with the Orioles because I need the Orioles to give me some notice. Because I got to get a plane and get up there, get a day off work. I will call out sick for Adley Rutschman Day.
Yeah, I will too.
Take a plane and fly out.
Yeah, I mean, afternoon game, I'm there, whatever, I'm there.
If it's a Wednesday, I'm going to miss 3 days of work or whatever it is, 2 days of work.
Yeah.
I'll be there for Adley Rutschman Day. But Orioles, you need to give me notice. You need to have, like, announce on Sunday that Adley's going to start on Tuesday and Monday's an off day. You got to give me some heads up. So that I can get up there.
I mean, I think they will, right? Because I want to promote it and sell it out. I think they will. I feel like they did that with Matt Wieters. There was a thing like that where there was a couple days notice.
And that Wieters day was a lot of fun.
Wieners for Wieters, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I want that magic.
Yeah.
And I will be there. I'm coming up from Maryland for that game. You know it's a home game. That's not the type of guy you debut on the road.
No, that's a home game.
It's a home game. I will be there. But Orioles, you need to announce it ahead of time with me.
Yeah.
If you want to make it opening day, I'm there. I'll buy my tickets right now. I'll be there for opening day. I'm not a big opening day guy, but
I'll go for opening day too.
Let's just help everyone out and make opening day. But you're right. If the Orioles want to sell out, you bring Adley up.
Yep. That's one guaranteed sell out.
Yep.
And maybe you bring up Grayson Rodriguez later and get another one.
I mean, why not? I would love to see the Orioles bring those guys up at the start of the season, announce weeks ahead of time, hey, these guys made the big league roster, and change all your marketing to come see the kids play.
Yeah.
It would be, that's how you would get some excitement in Baltimore again. Now they got to win and they got to play well and they got to prove it, but that's the type of marketing. The Orioles have not had players to really market around in a long time. Remember, 2012 was come see Buck, and it was Buck on every flag.
Yeah.
And all. So the Orioles have a great opportunity. It's just how they're going to use it.
Well, they have some major league players to market too, in Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to build on that. They're going to build on the Mullins, Mountcastle, Mancini, and Means.
Yeah,
they're going to build on all that this offseason.
Right, by re-signing one or more of them, right?
Well, and they got to put parts around them. But they've got that core that they can say, hey, here's
But don't what... you think, Josh, don't you think them signing, re-signing any of those guys – specifically, I think the guy that comes to mind is Mullins, and then Mancini too, and John Means too. Those three specifically. Don't you think re-signing them would be a statement to say, like, we're not just going to keep on selling and selling and selling. Like, this is a statement. We're building around these guys. We're re-signing Mountcastle. I mean, not Mountcastle.
No.
We're re-signing Mullins, giving him an extension, not re-signing, extending him. We're extending John Means, buying out the rest of his arbitration years, extending Means, extending Mullins, extending Mancini to say, this is the core. These guys aren't being traded away. You don't have to do trade rumors every offseason, every July. No trade rumors. These are the guys, and then we'll start to build around them. I think that would be a statement.
It would be. It's also not the Oriole way.
Well,
so it would be a statement.
But I mean, this is a different Oriole way under Mike Elias, though, right?
I believe so, yes.
And then,
and I do argue with people that this is not the Peter Angelos, this is not a Peter Angelos forced loss this year.
Yeah,
this is
I think Mike Elias also, Josh, this offseason is going to be under some pressure.
Yes,
given how bad the Orioles have been this year, given the CBA negotiations, how all reporters are complaining specifically about the Orioles, but complaining about tanking. Yes. And the Orioles, some reason, kind of unfairly, are the poster child for it.
Right, which makes no sense. And we've talked about it on here. The Orioles are not the poster child. The Nationals should be a better poster child.
But I think it does add pressure to Mike Elias to do things this offseason, even re-signing his own guys to show that he is spending money. I think the CBA wants to see that, right?
Yeah, I have concerns about the CBA just in global overall for baseball. I'm concerned about a strike. I'm concerned that we won't have baseball next year.
I'm less concerned.
That's great. I'm glad.
No, just because not that there won't be a strike, but I'm less concerned about no baseball. That would be a reprieve for me to not have to watch Orioles for a while.
Understand. Gotcha. That's fair. I don't think Mike Elias cares about the pressure.
Oh.
I don't know how much he pays attention.
Okay.
But I also think I think the Orioles fans do not have any more patience for this.
But Josh, you said it doesn't matter because once they win, they'll come back anyway.
Yeah, they will.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if they can't say anymore. But here's evidence that Mike Elias does care or does. I think he's going to give it the pressure this offseason. I'm putting the over under at free agent signing pitchers. At six. I think we're going to sign six, at least.
All right, but hold on. Any of them an ace?
No.
Any of them top three? Starter?
No. Okay. You got to sign six of them. No.
All right. So you're saying we're going to bring in six Matt Harveys?
Six of that 50 to 100 range.
Okay. Yeah. I have a problem with that. That doesn't tell me you're trying anything to win.
Okay, but that tells me
placeholders. More placeholders is what that tells me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bunch of 1 and 2 year deals.
Yeah, it's not the time for placeholders. It's time to build for the future.
Okay, but Josh, you can't sign five aces, and that's what we need.
No, but you can sign one.
And we'll still be terrible.
You can sign one. You can have him and John Means. Then you can have Keegan Aiken looked okay on Saturday.
Okay.
You got Aiken, Zach Lothar.
Your story is already falling apart.
I'm all for Grayson Rodriguez starting with the team too.
Yeah, I mean,
and Dale Hall in Norfolk.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at 2023, we have a good rotation for 2023. If you add one other top guy. You had a good rotation for 2023. Right.
And I'm saying unfortunately, you got to add it this offseason, but unfortunately, it's not that the free agent class this year is not good.
This is the shortstop free agent class. You want to get a shortstop, this is the year.
Yeah, unless Gunnar Henderson's on the fast track.
Hey, yeah, how about that? That came as a surprise to, I think, everybody.
Yeah, we got him promoted to Bowie.
Yeah, he started in low A. He moved up to high A. And now to also move at still the ripe age of 20, I believe, to
he's
Bowie.
He's moving fast.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, which means if he does well in Bowie, he'll start in Norfolk next year, and you really could see him at 21 as an Oriole.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I think he was going to start at Bowie next year no matter what. So I think they're like, well, why not just bring him up?
Well, I think now he's got another month of baseball. He could prove enough over the month to prove his way to get a chance at Norfolk to start the season.
By the way, Gunnar Henderson tonight, 1-for-3 in his debut at Bowie, a hit, a double, and a run. So, and I think honestly, I think part of too is Bowie's in a they're in a playoff hunt here. They're fighting for a playoff spot. Aberdeen isn't, so it makes I think it helps Bowie's team, so it gives them an added bat to increase their chances in the playoffs, and it lets Gunnar Henderson kind of play in that winning team, and I think see some success and kind of fight for a playoff spot, which might be a good experience for Gunnar Henderson, that added pressure.
And Gunnar is one of those high school kids, so they drafted him at age 18. He played in the Gulf Coast in 2019, and he was shut down last year. He didn't do anything last year.
Right.
Or 2020.
Was he part of the...
He was not part of Project Bowie.
Bowie? He wasn't?
He was not.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, on Baseball Reference, it doesn't have anything for him for 2020. Yeah. I don't remember him in Project Bowie. I guess that wouldn't show us official minor league stats either, because it was more like practice all the time. But either way, to see him move...
He was there, by the way. He was there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. But to see him move from Aberdeen, from Delmarva... Where was it? Aberdeen, Delmarva, now Bowie? Is that the
Delmarva,
order?
Delmarva, Aberdeen, all now Bowie,
year?
Yeah.
Yeah. All this year, and because he's putting up good numbers and putting up a lot of playing time in all of those, it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's good for him, and it's a little bit out of, I feel like... out of the norm for Mike Elias to move him up a little more quickly. But again, maybe with the season wrapping up, you want to give him more kind of game experiences. But our minor leagues is still kind of where it's at. And so right. It's still...
So he played 65 games at Aberdeen, 35 games in Delmarva. And now we've got another month of the season, so he could get in 25 games in Bowie. So.
Yep. Depending on kind of how playoffs work.
Yeah. Right. So, because minor league baseball goes into October this year.
The longest season is AAA. I know the Tigers too.
AAA started late.
Yeah, and I think Bowie might go in October depending on playoffs.
Right.
By the way, we're just talking about Adley Rutschman. He has a triple tonight, so his first triple of the year. So good for Adley.
Adley's got to be up next year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gunnar is, where's his bat? He's looking for his batting average. He batted .312 with Delmarva, only .230 with Aberdeen.
Yeah. But he played a lot better as of late. And if you talk about people who watch Aberdeen, by that I mean that on the verge,
yeah,
those peeps, they talk about how he's hitting the ball hard and, you know, the hard exit velocity and having good at bats and stuff. So
I don't understand. I got to talk to Bob sometime. I don't understand how On the Verge is so on top of these Orioles minor leaguers, where they'll get the highlight video up on Twitter immediately after Gunnar Henderson's first hit as a Bowie. It's like in Bowie. He's like, here's his first hit as a double-A player. To the point that Mike Elias even gave them credit for how good of a job they do.
Because to the point that John Mioli said, the Orioles reporter for the Bomber Sun looks at their Twitter for updates on the hitters.
Right.
Or, you know, people who work for the Orioles, they pay attention to see the highlights, right? Because not all of us, even reporters, are sitting there watching these minor league games. And so on the verge of ability to watch all these games, it's just those three dudes.
Right.
And then post the videos moments after it happens. I don't know how that works.
That's why you have to talk to Bob, because they're all, I believe they're married and families and everything.
And they never miss a game.
And they're always on top of it. And I don't know, are all three of them different levels to watch? How are they doing it? I don't know. Yeah. We've had Bob on here before. Bob's a friend. We'll have to talk to him sometime.
Maybe
in the off season. We made the mistake. We should have hired Bob to do this. We should have had Bob replace Bert. That's what we should have done.
Yeah, missed opportunity right there.
Yep. But yeah, subscribe to On the Verge and follow them on Twitter.
By the way, if you care about such things, you talk about, does this sound like you're ready?
Yes.
Adley Rutschman, so far in 28 games at Norfolk, batting 323 with an OBP of 415. An OPS of 910. That sounds pretty ready to me.
Bring him to Baltimore. But give me notice.
Yeah.
Opening day. Let's do it.
Opening days are going to sell out, though, right? Don't you want to get another sellout out of it, out of Adley Rutschman?
I don't know. I kind of just like, but I kind of just like the joy of opening day with Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, it's trying to give me more hope for the season.
And I don't want, I think, it would give me more hope. It would give me excitement beyond just opening day, because Adley Rutschman coming up is not just a single game event. The whole reason Wieners for Weeders was an event among our family and friends is because it meant it kicked off like a new chapter of Orioles baseball.
Yeah, I mean, we have season tickets, and I know we, the past couple of years, especially when you moved to Florida, we debated, do we keep the season tickets because orders are bad? Right. What do we do? Yeah. Apparently, Rutschman's on this team playing every night. I'm keeping my season tickets.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not.
Well, if you remember, during those 2012, 2014, we bumped our season tickets up. We had more tickets. We were going to like 25 games a year.
Yeah, that was
because
insane.
The team was exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I can ever get to that point again, but maybe. We'll see. Give me an exciting team.
Yeah, shoot, I'll go to some playoff games. I wouldn't mind that. I'll get to 27 with playoff games. Sign up for that.
Correct.
But yeah, also would mean an added bonus. This is not really as important, but an added bonus of Adley Rutschman playing open day, it would presumably mean that Severino would not be on the team, which would make me happy. Pedro Severino.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So that would make me happy because I've had enough of Pedro Severino.
I've had enough about all of our catchers not named Adley.
Yeah, I hope this is Severino's last year with the Orioles. I really do.
I'm with you. All good.
other Orioles talk I want to get to.
And the injuries and the shutdowns?
Sure. Hunter Harvey. Can we just kind of give Hunter Harvey a good old golf clap just for
I thought Hunter Harvey's one of the guys coming back. Isn't Hunter Harvey one of the guys working his way back to get more time this year?
No, he's done.
He got shut down too?
Yes.
Okay.
So who else do you have? I have
Mateo.
Who's Mateo? Mateo is shut down.
Done for the season.
Okay.
Yep.
Lopez.
Tanner Scott. Done for the season.
Yeah.
Matt Harvey. Done for the season.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
How much? Yeah. All right. The Orioles really suck. How much of this is, I got a cramp. I better be done for the season. I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, well, and some of it is, we talked about this at the beginning of the season, like, especially with pitchers, like, their pitch counts. Like, Matt Harvey threw, like, three innings last year or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
And so, and this year he ended up leading the Orioles team in innings pitched and stuff. So, just kind of, overall, I thought, he exceeded expectations for me. Even just the fact that he was a freaking workhorse, right? And went out there every fifth day. I mean, this is the first time he's landed on the IL here at the end of the season. This year, I know the ERA is a little bit high with 6.27, but this year he threw 127 innings, the most innings he's pitched since 2018, where he threw 128 innings. Too bad he couldn't surpass that. But 28 games started. Just an impressive to just go out there every.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you didn't like him, if you thought he was bad, well, just watch the rest of the season. Because the rest of the season, here's our rotation, Josh. Outside of John Means, here's our potential starters.
Yeah, we got Means is Wednesday. Ellis is Thursday.
Yeah, Ellis looks pretty good. But I also get, like, the Spencer Watkins vibes, right? Like, okay. Is this legit? How good can you be for how long? And then we have Keegan Aiken, who's been better. And then Zach Lothar and Alexander Wells, who are absolute dumpster fires.
Hey, we mentioned Aiken had that 6-run no hitter on Saturday night.
So I know it's scary when out of those options, Aiken seems like the best.
I know.
And then maybe Kramer in there too. But yeah, it's going to be. I mean, we could give up 1,000 runs this year. And there's certain pitching also. If you look at just kind of ranks,
it's the bottom.
It's not. It's not even close. It's not like. It's not like we're kind of fighting it out with another team. No, well, and, Diamondbacks are second, but we're giving up our ERA is 5 runs a game. It's terrible.
Where's Bruce Zimmerman? Did he get hurt, or did he just crap?
No, hurt, injury. He's never. Right. He got hurt a while ago, and then just has trouble.
Right, because I was just trying to think. Like our rotation is like nothing like it was in March.
Right.
So.
And Bruce Zimmerman, who had that great spring training, we thought, okay, maybe he could be something. No, he's still in the 60-day DL, the IL. Right. He ended up just having. Let me pull it up right here. 11 starts for us this year. Which he pitched well, ERA at 4.83, but you only have 11 starts.
Yeah.
And the other story about the second half, Josh, is just that, and you mentioned Tanner Scott going down. He gave up like 6 runs in 2/3 of an innings in that 22-run game.
Yes.
Just the total demise.
No, that was the day before in the 11-run. 11-run seventh inning is when he gave up
11 runs in one inning. Yeah, that's
right. In the 7-inning game in the 7th inning. Yes.
Yes. Where we had a no-hitter. Was that the game where we had a no-hitter through 6 innings?
Yeah. Aiken pitched a no-hitter through 6 innings, gave it up to the bullpen to close out the game, and they blew it.
Well, blew it is one way to say it. Give him 11 runs.
Yeah. That's, I think crap the bed isn't even historical. Harsh enough. Yeah.
Historical. Anyway, the kind of the total destruction, implosion of Paul Fry and Tanner Scott has been quite to behold.
Well, Paul Fry was we were talking about how he was one of our leading trade candidates.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be traded. Scott, we thought, oh no, he's too talented to trade. We should hold on to him.
Right. We thought he had potential, but that we still wanted to,
We should have traded both of them.
So it's the sticky stuff, right? On both of them?
You can say that for everybody, I guess.
Yeah, but the timing for the sticky stuff is at the same time that these guys crashed.
Paul Fry, I think, is a more direct connection.
Yeah, Paul Fry.
Terry Scott, that's. Pitched well at times, even after the sticky stuff.
No, but Paul Fry's timeline lines directly up with the spider tech.
Maybe. I don't know. Speaking of cheating, Josh, we're kind of jumping around everywhere here. Right. But there's been a lot of Orioles stuff going on.
Okay, yeah. Where are you going with cheating?
The Robbie Ray, pitcher of the, for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think I have a different take than you on this. Go ahead.
Starting to... in the game against Toronto, he accused some Oriole players.
Whistling.
Was that whistling?
Really? I heard they were accusing them of whistling.
I think you're mixing your stories. Maybe there were whistling.
Is this another cheating?
What, the Yankees, the Mets?
Oh, the Yankees, Mets was the whistling.
There was whistling in that game.
All right, Rays was noise from the dugout.
Yeah, just noise from the dugout.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when there's no fans. You hear everything.
Yeah, so, and so
Ray was, sunflower seeds does not mean fastball.
Yeah, well, and they were, I guess, they were being a little too exuberant for Ray, and so he was staring down into the dugout, and manager Hyde had some choice words for him to say, like, what are you looking at? With a few F-bombs in there, but pretty much saying, what are you looking at?
Hyde's been known to drop the F-bombs. The difference this time is there was no other sound in the stadium for the mics to pick up.
Yes.
There was no masking.
You could hear it clear as day, the entire conversation of what Hyde was saying, clear as day.
Yeah. You know what my takeaway from this is?
Yes.
Manager Hyde is not getting fired this offseason. That the players like Manager Hyde, that Manager Hyde, Mancini after this game when asked about it, says it means a lot. He loves his players, and he's going to back us up in any situation. And I think it's obvious the fact that it got caught on the mics just enhanced things. But things like that happen all the time. So that tells me, like, he's a player's coach. These young guys like it. When you're bringing young guys in, you want someone that they trust as a manager, that the players support this guy. Manager Hyde's at least back next year.
Influential national baseball writers such as John Heyman, said it was an absolute embarrassment thing that he should be ashamed of.
Also,
international sports writer Dan Clark said it's an absolute embarrassment that he should be ashamed of.
So when are you going to talk about someone that's an Oriole fan and not an Oriole hater? Everyone you're listing are Oriole haters.
Dan Clark's an Oriole fan.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not. No, he's an attention seeker.
Josh, you think, how about this? Manager Brandon Hyde himself apologized for the
language. Oh, yeah. You've got to do that because you don't want to get the fines and the penalized and the money. You have to go out there and be a good example for the kids.
All right. As
a player, how much does that hype you up? We talk about managers and the players and supporting the players and how you have to sometimes go out there and argue a call. Even if you agree with the call, you have to argue to support your pitcher or to support your player. You have to get up there and support your player.
Yeah, well, a couple of things here. First of all, the stats show, because he was saying, they're not, Robbie Ray was saying, they're not swinging that much slider. And the stats show that the Orioles swung at his slider as much as, you know, other teams did throughout the course of the year. The second thing is, like, how Robbie Ray, like, the Orioles are the laughingstock of all of baseball. How desperate do you need to be to accuse the Orioles, the laughingstock of baseball, is cheating? Like, what does it say about you? Like, go home, shut up.
Right.
But as far as manager Hines, his comments, first of all, I think the person most at blame, or rather the people most at blame for what happened there, and the people who should apologize, manager Hines should not apologize. The people who should apologize are Oriole fans. Because the only reason this happened is because you were afraid of violence in Baltimore on a school night and the pandemic, that you didn't show up to the stadium to cheer on the Orioles and drown out the curse of manager Hyde. I was there when there was 4,000 fans in the stand, and I'm telling you what, I was in the upper deck, section 336. There was a guy down there in section 80 or something in the lower deck having a conversation. I could hear him. Okay. There was one dude clapping. I spotted him from like a mile away. That one dude clapping on the other side of the stadium. I could spot him. So that's on the Orioles for lack of fans there. And Josh, I agree with you that players
want this.
Respond well. I would take it a step further, Josh. And I don't know. I didn't see any polls on this. But as Orioles fans,
oh, we love it.
I'm a fan.
We love
I'm
it.
I'm a
yes.
fan of this.
Yes.
Because we want our managers to have passion. We used to love when Buck Showalter, you know, would get in the face of an umpire or another manager. We love that.
The Orioles have a long history of this with Earl Weaver, who's like just the prime example of this.
Sure.
We see it in Ravens football, where we will accept a taunting penalty once in a while because we're okay with it as fans because we know it hypes the team up.
And let me say, with that said, I am shocked and appalled and just shocked that a manager or coach of an professional athletic team would use foul language. That was a revelation to me that I found shocking. I'm sure other managers and coaches do not curse.
Sorry, we can't all have Ted Lasso as our manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Just read lips of any NFL game on Sunday and you'll see a lot of what heights have come
just
out.
Look at some of John Boy's YouTubes with managers going out and arguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe Tommy Hunter dropped an F-bomb a few years back on mass and television. I think the overall response is yes, Hyde apologized, and yes, it for some reason upset some sensitive fans. I don't know. I would call any fan who is upset by Hyde's comment, I would call a strawberry. There, I said it. I think they're strawberries. I love what manager Hyde said. I'm not a proponent of bringing manager Hyde back. I don't think he did a good job. I don't think the idea of that, oh, well, he has a terrible team. Well, that's fine. But, like, you're still judged by wins and losses. I'm sorry it sucks. Right. We're done about a bad hand.
Yes.
But this is the whole name of the game. So, like, I really don't care either way. I don't care if they bring him back. I don't care if they fire him. But I think they could because.
Yeah, they could. Sure.
Just look at the win-loss record.
Right. But, sorry, being Ray and coming out and being like, oh, well, the Orioles have a crappy team. They shouldn't have this passion. I want the passion day in, day out, no matter what your record is.
Yeah, it makes me happy that Hyde is so passionate, even given their record.
Right. Because we've had conversations.
Defending his guys, right?
Right.
I don't think he wasn't. Robbie Ray was not upset at Hyde. He was looking at the other players, the Orioles players.
Right.
And Hyde, you know, Hyde stepped in there, and Hyde could have just let it go, right? Like, it wasn't like Ray was coming over antagonizing Hyde. Ray was just staring in the dugout, and Hyde could have just said, "I'm gonna let this go," but Hyde said, "No, I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna shout back."
Yeah,
which I like.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. F bombs or no F bombs?
Right. Well, from that, you see, the Trey Mancini is the Clemente Award nominee.
I did.
They just announced that. So
yeah, very cool.
It's cool. I guess because of that, like, some of his charities automatically get some money, which is cool. And I think we're already pretty just positive. Like, I don't even know why you would have other nominees for Comeback Player of the Year. They're just going to give that to Mancini.
Yep. Mancini's a great story. Been great for the Orioles and great for baseball this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's just all anything that comes out with Mancini is good and exciting.
Yeah, I think going back to our beginning conversation about the worst team in Orioles history. I mean,
good
just
stories.
Think about Mancini's great story, and I think back to the home run derby and how fun that was with Jay Mancini. This has been a bad year, but maybe the worst year ever for pitching. But all in all, not the worst year ever.
Yeah, pitching's been horrible. It's interesting if we someone should go out and do the math. If we had decent pitching, what would our record be?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like our offense is top 10 in the league. We're still, I think, like 19th maybe in runs scored or 18th in runs scored.
But it's not right.
The reason we're going to lose all these games is because of pitching.
Right.
Josh, we have an opportunity this week against the Yankees to play spoiler a little bit, and really for the rest of the season.
Yes.
Right now, the Yankees are just one game up in the loss column over Boston. And Seattle is just two games back in the loss column.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Seattle is very much still alive. Oakland's alive.
And that's
Boston's alive.
And that's for the second wild card spot.
Yeah. Toronto right now is in the first wild card spot, which is not secure either.
Right. But the most exciting part of this is that we have an opportunity that there could be playoffs without Yankees or Red Sox.
I'm rooting so hard for the Mariners and the Athletics.
And
I don't care who goes. But a world where Toronto and either the Mariners or Athletics are in there.
It sounds wonderful.
This whole season would be worth it. I would call this a successful season. If the Yankees or Red Sox don't make the playoffs, I would say for the Orioles, this season was a success.
Yeah. Like, there's always a chance. Who do we play? Where's the Orioles? I don't have the Orioles schedule in here anymore. Who do we close out the season with? Do we get a chance to be spoilers on game 162 again like we did in 2011?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, right? Because we play these three against the Yankees. And I hope, tonight was a throwaway game. But tomorrow, you know, we got Means going. And the next game, we got Ellis going, who's pitched really well. So we could take maybe one of those games.
Right.
Maybe two if we get lucky.
Yeah.
And then we got Boston.
Yep.
Where, again, we can hopefully take one of those.
Right.
Then we got Phillies and Texas, whatever.
Yeah, so who cares?
And then we finish the game. We finish the season with three against Boston and three against Toronto.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot to say about who gets that
Boston, and then let's all go home early.
Yeah, and then let's give up 22 runs to Toronto.
Yes. Right. Let's not show up on that last game of the season.
Yeah, just throw out Lothar and Wells and Alexander Wells for the last game.
You can't say throw out a bunch of minor league players because they'll be better than our major league players.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah. It'll be interesting. I would love to see Major League Baseball would be freaking with a postseason without Boston or New York.
And yeah, they're already kind of marketing the book of Boston Yankees wildcard game and promoting that. So I think they're going to be ticked off if that doesn't happen. I know. And to be replaced by either the Mariners or the Athletics. Yeah, they won't like that.
Right. Not great TV markets. Yeah.
Nope.
So we can all hope for that and ruin baseball for everyone.
I know. I'm rooting hard for that. And we in the Orioles will have somewhat of a say.
Yep.
So not tonight. Tonight is a loss, but the rest of the nights.
Oh, you never know. It's only the fifth inning as we're recording. There is a such thing as an 11 inning seventh.
Yeah. The Yankees could be 16-0 instead of
9-0. The Yankees could put up another 11. Correct. So. All right.
You have any updates?
Let's see. We talked about Scott and Mateo and they're hurt.
No, I don't mean that. I mean non-baseball updates, Josh.
Handhold made his first appearance yesterday. I saw he was in the game again tonight.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
No other updates.
No other updates. No, I had a big event last week that got canceled. It's a few weeks out now. Okay. So I can't give you an update on that.
Okay.
Cool. And my fall softball season starts tomorrow. So I think we're good.
No other updates.
Are you expecting any other updates?
Josh, yes. Every week we come on here and talk about do you or do you not have a PlayStation 5 in your possession?
Hey, have you played the new Madden game? This weekend they had a preview where you could download the Madden game and play it for free for the weekend.
Oh, really?
I was playing it. It was pretty fun.
On the PS5?
No, on the PS4.
So close.
All right. The PS5 saga is now the number one frustrating thing in my life.
Okay. I'm
beyond irritated with it. I am tired of talking about it.
Does this bother you more than the Ravens losing to the Raiders?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up. Yes. We shouldn't talk about the Ravens. We shouldn't talk about PlayStations anymore. Off topic.
Yeah, I think I can I think I'm just going to not talk about it. I am considering not playing in my softball game tomorrow because I'm so irritated about it.
Oh, my, protesting.
Yeah, of doing a little protest, a little strike.
You're pulling an Aaron Rodgers. You should sabotage your own team. Pull a little Aaron Rodgers action.
I was trying to look for some fabric scissors so I could just cut my jersey up. Pull a little Chris Sale's action.
Yeah, Chris Sale. That's what I think of you guys. But,
no, as crappy as my week was, this has moved to the number one thing in my life that I'm frustrated about.
Mm.
And that's saying a lot because
there's a lot of
stress and frustration in my life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent 2 hours on the phone today after work because of drama at work that I really didn't want to deal with. But because of them, I manage a lot of people. I got to deal with their drama and their crap. Two hours on the phone for that. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
That's probably number 10 in the things that are frustrating me this week.
Yeah.
So the PS5 is the number one thing that's frustrating me. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to. it went from a joke.
Yeah. To now Josh is mad. Josh,
the most
you're
irritating
mad.
Thing. Hold
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta find this.
You don't have to bring out the text messages. We can end the show.
Oh, I don't want to read text messages.
We can talk more about Gunnar Henderson going to Bowie and how pumped we are for it.
It has been 151 days since I paid for the PS5. 151 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's number one on my...
That's almost half a year, yep.
Yeah.
5 months.
Does that put it before the Orioles season started? I think it might. I think it might be before opening day.
Yeah.
It was before open. It was opening day weekend. No.
Yeah, it would have been
2 weeks. It was 2 weeks out. Oh, yeah.
It would have been early April. The first early April or something. Yeah.
Something like that. Because 2 weeks before I paid for it is when I gave you my PlayStation 5 because they were coming in that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like a couple weeks into baseball season.
PlayStation 5 right there.
Yeah, it must be nice. It's beautiful. PS4 is not bad. And I'm going to just be playing that, and I am irritated. And, I had a really frustrating life. Frustrating week. The PS5 is now the number one thing. And because other stuff in my life I can't control, this I can't really control either. Yeah. So we're going to not do any more PS5 updates unless the PS5 shows up because I'm so irritated about it.
All right, good. I won't bring it up. You don't bring up the Ravens. I won't bring up PS5s. And we'll just talk about Michael Bauman. Yeah, I saw his debut. He looked pretty good in his debut when I saw him. So we'll just talk Michael Bauman. That's fine.
All right, we'll talk Bauman. I'm all good with Bauman.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about when we're talking about things we don't talk about anymore. Can we put Pedro Severino on the list too? I don't want to talk about Pedro Severino anymore.
Okay. All right. Oh, is that going to be you want to make a new segment of things that currently suck in our lives?
Things we cannot talk about. No, because then we're just going to get angry. Okay. And no, these are just things we won't talk about.
All right, I'm going to throw Facebook out there. I'm irritated at Facebook right now.
What's wrong with Facebook?
I'll show you after the show.
Okay.
I'm irritated with Facebook.
Okay.
And Instagram and Twitter and all social media.
Okay. I got no beef. I only got a beef with Twitter because the Ravens, but I don't really have it. But I'm curious to hear your beef with Facebook.com.
And it's not political. It's my. It's not the disinformation. Well, it is misinformation, but it's not misinformation about COVID. So, yeah.
All right.
But yeah, that'll be on. Wait until we get to the off season when we can't talk Orioles anymore, and we just talk about the things we hate this week.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a long list of things.
Did we have a venting segment or something? If not, we need a little
Yeah, I mean, our ball four was the opposite.
Ball four was hell of fun and celebrate
that
life.
We recommend. Yeah. We need the opposite of ball four. We need like strike three.
All right. You want a good thing?
Yeah.
I got a good thing. One moment.
All right. Josh has taken off his headphones, gotten off the chair.
If you're watching on the video, you'll notice that I moved back into my office this week.
That's I see the bobbleheads in the background, camping yards in the background.
Yeah, and I got some cool bobbleheads that I've never...
Super Bowl picture in the background.
Yeah, cool bobbleheads that I've never had a chance to display before, like my glove man, Hayes.
Yep, my glove man's still in the box. I got to take him out.
And my Jim Palmer.
Nice.
And both of them I took out of the box this weekend. The other thing I took out of the box this weekend is a few months ago, I went and saw the Norfolk Tide play the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. And they gave away a Stone Garrett bobblehead. And it was to celebrate.
Never heard of Stone Garrett, but okay.
Me either. But it was.
Baseball player, I presume.
Yeah, but it was to commemorate when he made a play falling over the wall.
Okay.
So this is the bobblehead. And I unboxed it this week. And I was like, that's a pretty cool bobblehead. But here's the problem. His head does not bobble. You know why? His entire body does.
Oh, that's more
So this little stupid bobblehead.
A bobble body.
Bobble body has given me joy this week.
Yeah, that's a cool.
Because
that's
it is different than any other bobblehead I have. I don't know who Stone Garrett is, and I don't really care. And if you look straight, it looks like he's been stabbed through his chest with the iron stick.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not a Derek Jeter one of those, right?
I don't know. But
in the crowd.
The bobble body gave me joy this week as I unboxed that.
Nice,
so
that's good.
That's my happy ball.
Good. Well, end on a high note. I like that.
All right. Yeah, in the future, we'll do a, what's the Festivus thing? Not Feats of Strength. But the negative, where they bring out their anger?
Yeah.
We'll have one of those episodes.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We need, I'm blanking
Aaron
on the name.
The
errands of the grievances. We'll have that later on. That'll be an off-season episode, along with our what-if episodes.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. All right, boys and girls. You can follow us on social media. Follow Josh on Facebook. Maybe don't follow Josh on Facebook. You can wait for this. But follow Josh on Twitter. You can follow the show page on Twitter, too.
Yeah. So, and on Facebook.
You can follow on Facebook.
Bring me some joy in my Facebook frustration.
You can also write us a review on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter. I'll hop back on there one of these days when I'm less angry. You can follow me on Twitter at section336. And you can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Rucka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. As always, go O's. And I guess go Ravens. Everybody knows you ain't messing around.
Haven't you heard? Got that underdog style, but we'll be crushing the curve.